every breed of dog requires an advocate or organizations that advocate on their behalf, but pit bulls certainly seem to need some help these days when it comes to a bad rap that they've been getting. I got an email from a listener recently asking me to focus on this issue, tell the truth about pit bulls, and so that's what we're going to do today. Mary Harwellick is a pit bull activist. She is a professional dog trainer, and she is the person behind RealPitBull.com. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's first of all start out by explaining what a pit bull is, because I think that often people group a number of different dogs under the heading pit bull, but in fact there is an actual pit bull terrier, right?
Yes, there is. This is some real confusion surrounding the breed. Pit bull is technically a nickname for a very specific recognized breed of dog, which is the American Pit Bull Terrier. It's the only breed in existence that has the word pit and bull in its name. It's the only breed that's historically been called a quote-unquote pit bull. There are other dogs that are related to pit bulls, look similar, have similar histories, that sometimes get lumped in the pit bull category. It's really incorrect to do so, however, and these breeds don't have the name or the words pit bull in their name, and they were never historically called pit bulls, so it's kind of an uneducated thing to do.
And what are some examples of some of the breeds that are mistakenly referred to as pit bulls?
The most common breeds referred to as pit bull type dogs are Staffordshire Bull Terriers, American Bulldogs, Bull Terriers, mixes of any of these breeds, or dogs that just look like these breeds. And really any bulldog type dog can fall under the pit bull heading. It's kind of left up to the person doing the labeling. You can kind of throw whatever you want in that pit bull category, it seems nowadays, and that's just completely incorrect to do so.
People are terrified of pit bulls because some pit bulls can be pretty vicious, right?
Some dogs can be very vicious. So I think it's kind of unfair to single out the pit bull breed as the only dog capable of being really nasty and causing harm to people. Aggression is a very natural thing. It occurs in all species. Anything with teeth can bite and cause you harm. And I've met some pretty nasty dogs that weren't pit bulls. I've never been bitten by a pit bull. I work mostly, probably 80% with pit bulls and pit bull mixes, and have for the past 10 or 12 years. Never been bitten by a pit bull. So, that can kind of speak for itself.
Why then the bad rap on pit bulls?
Unfortunately, they're very, very popular right now. A lot of people are trying to cash in on the pit bull craze, so you have a lot of irresponsible breeders producing dogs with maybe bad genetics, placing them with irresponsible people who don't really understand dog care or training, and that's kind of a recipe for disaster, and that's a formula that's occurred with a lot of different breeds throughout the years: Dobermans, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers, Cocker Spaniels. So you kind of take a breed, add popularity to the mix, and what you got is a big fat mess.
Is there any truth at all, then, to the notion that sometimes pit bulls can be more dangerous than other breeds?
No, there's absolutely no truth in that, unless you want to consider size. Obviously, a larger dog is going to potentially cause more damage than a smaller dog, but pit bulls are hardly the largest breed. They're hardly the strongest breed. The thing that's really important to recognize is that there have been no studies done on the breed proving that they're the most aggressive or the most dangerous. So to just say that they're dangerous or the most dangerous or the strongest or the breed that's going to cause the most damage when they attack is really unfounded and completely unscientific.
Are there efforts in various parts of the United States or elsewhere around the world to actually pass legislation targeting pit bulls?
Yes, unfortunately there is. This is something that's been a problem for, a few decades now. Legislators wanting to protect the public, understandably, are targeting the breed under the mistaken belief that they are inherently vicious, that they attack more people than other breeds, and that only criminals own the breed. So to remedy the situation as far as, for public safety reasons, they're targeting this breed or dogs that look like this breed and trying to eradicate them from cities and states and, across the globe, countries even.
And what kinds of laws are they trying to pass? Literally to eliminate them, to make it illegal to have one?
Yeah, there's two different types of laws usually. The biggest problem that we have is laws that are completely looking to eradicate the breed completely in Denver, Colorado, for instance. They're looking to do that. Now they don't want pit bulls within city limits, so they're putting a lot of pit bulls down. They're not allowing any more into the city. And then you also have laws restricting the breed. Those would be laws that would allow pit bulls but make it really difficult to own one. You have to have a muzzle on your dog. You need high, expensive liability insurance. The dogs need to be kept in a special kind of enclosure, just making it really difficult for people to own the breed. So maybe they choose to own something else.
Why do you like pit bulls so much?
Well, for a variety of reasons. The biggest reason probably is that they make me laugh. I've owned a lot of dogs, a lot of different breeds, and this breed just keeps me laughing. They're clowns. They're very clown-like. They're very loyal without being protective. In other words, they love their owners. They want to be with their owners, but they're very welcoming to outsiders. They love people. They love everyone they meet. They're very versatile. They're extremely smart. You can do anything with them. That's one of the reasons why they're so popular, for the right reasons and the wrong reasons. You could pretty much train them to do anything.
So what happens when a pit bull gets into the hands of a criminal? How do they deal with them?
Well, they might use them as guard or attack dogs, train them improperly, not keep them confined to a leash or a kennel run or a fenced-in yard, encourage aggressiveness because it's a tough kind of image that they want to portray, so they want a dog that backs that image up. Apparently, there's, in certain inner-city areas, drug dealers use them to guard their stash, so when the cops raid a place, they have to deal with dogs that may try to attack them.
On your website, realpitbull.com, you have a picture of a baby with a pit bull nuzzling the baby's face. What kind of reaction do you get to that?
I get various reactions. Every so often I get the hate mail that pit bull's ready to eat the baby. More often times than not, I get a positive reaction or a reaction of recognition. My dog is good with my children as well, that sort of thing.
So they are good dogs for families, for young children.
They are. The thing you have to realize is that they can be very rambunctious. They're high energy, and they are very strong. So I don't necessarily recommend them for families with very small children or toddlers, but not for reasons that you might think relating to viciousness or aggressiveness. It really has to do with they're just an active, rambunctious, playful dog, and they could easily knock a child down and hurt the child that way. But in general, as a family dog, this breed was always known as a good family dog. They're kept in families. They're with the right family who's willing to do their research and put the time and effort in, they make an excellent addition to the household.
So tell me about your website, realpitbull.com. What's there?
Realpitbull.com is an educational website. I strive to be the most informed, content-driven site related to pit bulls on the net. It's been around since 2000. It's one of the oldest pit bull education sites on the net. And anything you want to know about the breed is there. And if it's not there, there's a link to find that information elsewhere. It also has information on rescue. So there's dogs for adoption up on the website. It's got plenty of links to outside resources, training information on fighting breed-specific legislation and breed-specific legislation alternatives, and a lot of good goodies here and there scattered throughout the site.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the work that you do on behalf of Pit Bulls, Mary, and thanks for joining us on Good Dog.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Never one to just cover one side of an issue. I did my research and found out that there are plenty of people passing and others attempting to pass legislation throughout the United States that falls under the heading of breed-specific legislation. One such person who's been working on this issue for some time now is Oklahoma State Representative Paul Wesselhoft. Paul, welcome to Good Dog.
Sure. Glad to be here.
This is an issue of great concern to you. Tell me about that.
Well, yes. One of my constituents lost his arm and shoulder from a pit bull attack, and so I had to represent him, and so I entered some legislation which was breed-specific, but I was not successful with it. The pit bull breeders inundated my colleagues with emails, and they got emails from all over the United States, and I think that they got weak-kneed, and in the end, they were not willing to support the bill.
But I understand you're going to be reintroducing a bill?
Yes, I am. I have the pit bull breeders are always arguing, you know, go after the owner of the dog, don't go after our innocent breed, and so I'm going after the dog owner.
Okay, go on.
And the bill, what it does is if a dog, any dog, attacks somebody and it's a serious attack defined by multiple bites or tissue being ripped, muscle being tore, shredded, if the victim is hospitalized, and if the attack occurs off the property of the dog owner, and so if it meets those criteria, then it's a first bite felony. And that's a mandatory, making it a mandatory 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine. So I'm not playing around with these mostly pit bull owners, but it's not a breed-specific bill.
Now, would you say, first of all, do you like dogs?
Oh, yeah. I've had golden retrievers, and yeah.
All right. And would you say it's the fault of the pit bull or the fault of the owner?
I think historically it's the fault of the breeder. I think the breeders have crossed a moral boundary at some point in their breeding process, and what they've done is they've reversed the evolutionary direction. Instead of taking a wild animal and domesticating it, calling it the canine, what they basically are doing is reversing that evolutionary order, and they're trying to return the dog to a more primitive state. And in doing that, I think they've crossed a moral boundary, and they've created a dog now that is very dangerous to human life.
Do you have any sense about what percentage of pit bulls have problems with aggression?
Well, I know there's a number, especially in our state. I would say it's an epidemic in Oklahoma. I know in Texas that passed a bill similar to mine. There were four deaths of adults there. We've had one four-year-old boy killed here in Oklahoma from a pit bull attack, and we've had a number injured, including losing their limbs. And what happens is something just goes off in the pit bull's brain, and the dog is genetically bred for the purpose of taking down its victim and killing it. That's what they're bred to do.
And you've been told this by...
I've read it. I've read several books on the subject. I've read over 1,000 articles on pit bull attacks across the United States. That's why several countries have outlawed the dog, as well as a number of major cities in the United States, like Indianapolis and Denver and other places.
Now, tell me what ideally you would like to see. When you say banned entirely, you mean literally it would be illegal to own a pit bull?
No, that's not what my bill does at all. Now, the bill that I tried unsuccessfully would have banned the pit bull, but basically it would have grandfathered all the current pit bulls in. So they would be okay. It just would keep the breeding of the pit bulls out of Oklahoma. So in other words, the population would basically stand still. And that's what I was trying to do, because the pit bull breeding has gotten way out of control, especially in Oklahoma.
I've spoken to a number of people who say that it is not so much the breeding, but it is the training of what happens after the pit bull puppy is born. Would you disagree with that?
Oh, so strongly would I disagree with that. We have so many examples of these nice pets that owners have in their home, and their children are lovey-dovey with them, and something goes off in the pit bull's brain, and they attack and they injure their own family members. Matter of fact, there's data out there that shows that most pit bull attacks are on their own owners or members of the owner's family. And a number of things can set these pit bulls off. I mean, it can be a territorial issue. It can be a loud noise. It can be If children are on all fours, they mimic animals, and that confuses the pit bull. It can be another dog in heat. I mean, there's a number of things that can cause the pit bull to go off. And when it does, it becomes a lethal weapon.
When I have obviously great sympathy for the tragedy that occurred in your district, but was that an isolated incident, or do you have reports?
Oh, I think we have an epidemic in Oklahoma. I've become the pit bull attack clearinghouse. So I get calls from every county in Oklahoma. Now, a lot of them are attacks on animals and sheep and goats, but a lot of them are on human beings. And so, no, these attacks are going on quite a lot. It is not an isolated incident. No way.
There are many dogs who become aggressive or vicious. Why are you focusing specifically on pit bulls?
Well, that seems to be the problem in our state. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, when they do drug busts, they designate one of their cops to take out the pistol and shoot the pit bull on sight, because a lot of our meth dealers here have pit bulls that seem to be their dog of choice. And because of that, and because of the fact that some of these dogs can be sold for $6,000 in South America, where they fight them down there, they also fight them here once in a while. They get a ring gets caught. But because of that, I think that the breeding has gotten out of control, and I would imagine that some of the more responsible pit bull breeders would probably agree with me that the bad part of society out there are probably overbreeding them and using them for the wrong purposes.
Okay, so your bill is coming up when?
This next session. But again, the bill is not breed specific. It's a first bite felony, which Texas governor signed into law just a few weeks ago. The state of Florida is looking at it seriously. I bet that they will probably enter it. And I wouldn't be surprised if a number of other states bring this about. And, Joanne, what this bill will do, if it's successful, it will curtail the pit bull population, because a person will think twice if they buy a pit bull, thinking, if this dog gets away from my property, attacks somebody seriously, I'm going to prison for a year, and I got to pay $10,000. They will think twice before they buy a dog of that caliber, whether it's a pit bull or some other breed.
Under your proposed legislation, does the first bite felony only figure in if it's a pit bull or if it's another breed as well?
No, in any breed.
Any breed. So if a beagle bites me, that owner can go to jail?
No, it's not a nip. It has to tear muscle tissue. It has to be multiple bites. It has to tear and shred the muscle tissue. The bite has to occur off the property of the owner. And so we're talking about a mauling. And so if a beagle can maul somebody and put them in the hospital where they have to have stitches and staples, then yes, that dog would come under this particular provision.
Is this the most extreme bill of its nature to come before a state legislature?
It is a paradigm shift for canine jurisprudence. I would say that. It's a paradigm shift. It is a dramatic change. But we're going to have to get serious because our citizens are being injured by mostly the pit bulls. And citizens are calling me and saying, you've got to do something about it. Even the breeders tell me, you know, go after the owners. Please go after the owners. We will support you. Well, I'll see if they support me. They haven't supported me in the past. We'll see if they support me once I go after the owners.
Well, we will follow this issue, and I hope you stay in touch with us here at Good Dog Podcast and let us know how it goes.
Sure, absolutely.
Marcy Setter of Pitbull Rescue Central, or PBRC.net, has also started her own website entitled Understandable. Get it? Understand-a-bull. Welcome, Marcy. Tell me what it is that we're supposed to be understanding about a bull.
There's a whole lot to understand about pit bulls, and most certainly we shouldn't believe what the media writes in most instances. People should get out there and do some research, because there's a lot of fallacies out there regarding the breeds that represent the term pit bull. Pit bull's not a breed. It is a term used to typically group three specific breeds of dog. So there's a lot of confusion out there, and we're just trying to straighten that out so that people understand that there's not this grave danger that a lot of our legislators tend to try and say there is.
We've just heard from Oklahoma State Representative Paul Wesselhoft, who talks about pit bulls being predisposed to being aggressive, and that it's in the training, yes, but it's even before that, it's in the breeding. It's just something about this particular kind of dog. What would you say to that?
I would say that is a ridiculous statement that is completely unfounded. There is no statistical research to support that. Common sense would tell you that's not true just based on population of the breeds that pit bull represents. If that were true, we would be hearing of thousands and thousands of these attacks every day. There's also a couple of court cases, one being Tack versus Huntsville, Alabama, which went all the way up to the Alabama State Supreme Court, which rules that they are not inherently dangerous.
And yet many criminal elements, as Wesselhoft described it, specifically go out and get and train pit bulls to be vicious.
Yes, interestingly enough, they did that during the 70s with the German Shepherd, and then when the media took place and said, hey, Dobermans are the new vicious dog, the criminal people went out and started getting Dobermans, and then in the 90s it was the Rottweiler, and now it's the pit bulls, and 10 years from now it will be King Corsos or Presa Canarios or something else.
I come from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we are very familiar with Presa Canarios.
Diane Whipple, which was initially reported by the media as pit bulls, and still is in some instances. Yes.
So you think it's just a catch-all term, these poor pups who are, in most cases, and I've met so many very, very sweet pit bulls, they are just the poster boy, the bad boy of the year or of the decade, and this will pass.
Absolutely. A lot of it is media. I have sat in my living room, and I have watched news reports of a vicious pit bull attack, and I'm watching them take a chow chow out the door. You can do a search on, and let's go with California. We just had that instance in San Francisco 2 years ago. The young boy that was mauled by the family's two pit bulls, that the mother was brought up on charges, and, you know, that particular story, if you do a search, you will find literally thousands of news stories around that one instance. Within that same time frame, on a Friday in Detroit, or outside of Detroit, a pair of Siberian Huskies killed a two-year-old, I believe. The next day in Colorado, Malamutes mauled a seven-year-old. You will find literally five stories for each of those instances, because the media only reports on the pit bull. In that cycles, like I said, during the 90s, it was always Rottweilers. It was the same thing.
What results from these tragedies is breed-specific legislation is introduced. Tell me the state of that across the United States right now. Are there many places that have breed-specific legislation in place?
Yeah, there are a lot of areas that have BSL. And it's hard to really monitor on a full scale because, as I'm sure you're aware, every area has thousands of small towns that aren't online or that you don't hear about. So we have a lot of small areas that do. We also have, I believe, 12 states that prohibit any BSL from being passed within the state.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oklahoma would be one of those that has a state law that prohibits it.
So for a city like Denver that has breed-specific legislation, what does it actually outlaw?
Denver is a unique instance. They ban, and here's where part of the issue comes in. These bans, what they will do is the cities will define pit bull. So when you look at the law, you'll see pit bull defined as, and they will list off different breeds. That varies by area, but typically it's the American Pit Bull Terrier, the American Staffordshire Terrier, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Some will include just the Bull Terrier. Some will include the American Bulldog. So you really have to look at that. The other thing that they do is they will tack on that any mix thereof those breeds or any dog that has those physical characteristics. Now, if anyone would care to go to my website, understandable.com, and take the test on Find a Pit Bull, they are all the dogs in that game are purebred dogs. And I have had breeders that have been breeding a pit bull type breed for 20 years that tell me it takes them 7 tries to find it. So we've had a number of instances where dogs are euthanized and they're not any of those breeds. They just happen to look that way.
So in Denver, they're euthanizing all pit bulls?
In Denver, it was, wow, it was really bad. They were actually going into people's houses and taking dogs. Like I said, Denver was a very unique case. Denver passed a ban against pit bull dogs 10 years ago, late 80s somewhere. And what happened was about 3 or 4 years ago, the state legislation passed a law saying, we're not going to allow any more BSL. We're going to put in a strengthened dangerous dog law and not allow cities to pass BSL. That passed and was signed into law. What was interesting is in that law, for the first time ever, they actually wrote to repeal any existing BSL. That's never been done. So Denver had to lift their ban. Denver immediately filed a lawsuit claiming home rule, which some of our states have, and they won that lawsuit based on home rule, not based on dogs, not based on pit bulls being dangerous, based on we have X number of residents and X whatever it is, we can write our own laws. And then they reenacted the ban. Well, by that time, people thought they were safe and they had registered their dogs. They had been out in public with their dogs. Neighbors started calling saying, house 2 doors down has a pit bull. Animal control shows up, seizes the dog, and they have, like, you know, 2 days to get the dog out of town or they kill it.
And this is still going on today?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not as bad as it was. It was the really horrifying part was the first few months after when, you know, they started going through their list of, okay, the following people registered pit bulls in the last year, let's get the dogs out.
So your goal is to educate people about breed-specific legislation and as well about pit bulls in general, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing I would mention regarding breed-specific legislation that absolutely fascinates me, even though I understand government, every major canine organization in the United States stands opposed to breed-specific legislation. They all have position statements stating it's not a breed issue, it's an owner issue. If you look at history, it will tell you that. Matter of fact, if you look at Oklahoma, they've had several, they haven't had canine fatalities in a while, but they've had 11 fatal attacks in the last 45 years. Only 2 of them are related to pit bulls.
I wonder if the same people who are against pit bulls are against guns.
That would be an interesting thing.
Let's see if there's any correlation there. What do you like so much about pit bulls, Marcy?
They're a wonderful breed. You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things you just need to get to know one. I've owned a lot of dogs. As a matter of fact, during the 80s when Dobermans were the breed.
Which, by the way, the 80s were almost 20 years ago, not 10, sweetheart.
So, yes, 10 was the Rottweiler.
You said about 10 years ago earlier about Denver. I'm just teasing you. Go on.
That's all right. I owned a Doberman when they were considered the media monster. You know, I've owned Labradors and Cocker Spaniels and Dobes, and I actually wanted Rottweilers until my sister brought home a pit bull puppy, and my entire family fell in love. My parents, when my sister walked in the door with that dog, they did the same thing most of America does. Oh, my God, it's going to eat her. And we started doing the research. And, you know, some 2 years later, they have a pit bull now, and the dog walks on water. They're wonderful. They're loyal. They love you. They're the most animated breed I've ever had.
And are there many pit bulls waiting to be rescued?
Oh, yes.
So let's direct people to the Pit Bull Rescue Central.
Yes, absolutely. If you're interested in adopting a pit bull, you can visit pbrc.net. and peruse the website and find dogs in your area and ask questions. If you just want to know more about the breed and learn the facts, email us. We will be glad to answer any questions anyone has.
Great. And where should they direct that email, Marcy?
They can direct it to the PBRC website. There's a spot on there where they can fill out a form and email us.
Excellent. And that's PBRC.net.
.net. Yep.
Great. Marcy, so of Understandable and of Pitbull Rescue Central, thanks so much for enlightening our good dog listeners today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Good Dog. And if you like our show, help us climb the hierarchy on iTunes by submitting a review. So far, so good in that department, but we could use a few more. Finally, we would love to hear from you directly, and I promise to write back to each and every one of you. Simply send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.